Today, I want to start by doing some art history really quick. I want to show you an iconic painting, and I want to see if you can guess what it is. Are you guys ready? All right, check out this photo right here. Do you guys know what photo that is? What painting that is? Excuse me. It's a classic painting. Some of you are like, darn it, I'm an art history major. What did I do? Maybe this will help. Maybe this will help. What if we do this? What if we zoomed out? Oh, yeah, right? Everyone knows that one. It's like my classic painting. Oh, it's the Mona Lisa, of course. Let me show you one more. Some of you actually might get this one because it's so trademark in regards to this. How about this one here? Next one. Anyone know what it is? No? Let's zoom out again. Sunday afternoon on La Grande Jatte by Seurat. What's interesting about this, actually, this one was kind of meant to be viewed this way. Switch back to that last photo really quick. This is actually the little girl's face in that photo. Now switch back again and you'll see it. It's because Seurat actually understood this idea where he stepped into what's called pointillism. And he was understanding the fact that actually these small little dots would come together to aggregate. He actually said this is the future of painting because it removes the artist's brush strokes, but it provides the image, which is really interesting. The reason why this one is so iconic is because it's actually 7 feet tall by 10 feet wide in real life. So you can literally see it that close where you see the individual dots. And the picture actually gets better the farther you stand away from it. That's actually in Chicago, so you can go check it out if you ever want to. Both of those, you're like, okay, no, I did know the photos. The problem with the initial picture was that you were too close to them, right? And this is going to be tied into what we're talking about today, because we're in this series where we're talking about how you can hear from God, trying to demystify the idea of hearing the voice of God. And we said, really, what's amazing is that God only speaks in 5 basic ways. This is really good news. It means you don't need to know a million different ways. You just need these 5 and you will be set. We talked week 1 about the commanding scripture, week 2 about the compelling spirit. I told you they're all CS so that you can take notes, you can remember them. But today we're going to continue on this, and it ties into that same problem of viewing those paintings. You see, the problem when we talk about hearing God is that it means that you have to hear. It means that you have to hear. In fact, sometimes when we talk about the idea how to hear from God, it's like, I don't doubt the fact that God is speaking. I doubt the fact that I will hear him, right? Like, the problem in the scenario isn't God, it's me, and that's the issue. And the problem really is our perception. Because for very many of us, the issue as we're trying to listen for the voice of God in regards to our life is that we can sometimes be so close to it that all we see is just the tiny little information directly in front of us, like standing too close to that painting. What we need is a broader array of sensors in order to pick up the voice of God, almost like stepping back and putting these paintings into perspective by getting a little bit farther away from them. And this is actually right here where we get into the third way that God speaks. It kind of incorporates this solution into it, and we would call it the Council of Saints. The Council of Saints. Here's another way I would say this point. The Council of Saints expands our ability to hear from God. It expands our ability to hear from God. Now, to make sure we don't get anything confused in regards to this, we need to define these terms because, of course, in the Catholic faith, a saint would be a venerated dead person. And that's not the way the word is used inside the Bible. In fact, if we look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 12 in the ESV translation, Paul talks about how he and other leaders were given to the church to do work. And he says this, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. In this term, it's this word hagios, and what it means is a holy one. It means one who is set apart. It's not a special venerated believer of a special quality. It is the average church member. In fact, in writing to the Corinthians, in saying who he's writing to, as he addresses the letter, says, here's who this letter to the church of Corinth is for, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and this is in the ESV as well that translates this word, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place face, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. He says, I'm writing to the saints in Corinth, the set apart ones, the holy ones. The Bible actually points to the idea that us who are Jesus followers, us who have put our trust in Jesus, would be called saints from a biblical perspective. So how many of you guys raised in the Catholic Church? Hands for me. Really cool. Hands. Wow. Awesome. Congratulations. Today, if you're a Jesus follower, you've just reached sainthood. Go home and tell your mom or your grandpa, right? They'll be like, "This, you're in a cult. Get out of there today." Anyways, they're going to say that anyway. No worries. The Council of Saints is not talking to deceased, dead, holy guys. That's actually unbiblical. It's being in a relationship with other believers inside of the church. Now, this is important because very, very often in our Western evangelical culture, we talk all the time about how, like, it's a personal faith in Jesus. It's a personal faith in Jesus. It's not religion. It's a personal faith in Jesus. And it is very, very personal. You're not saved by any sense of corporate belief. But it is critical that we also pair with that, that your faith is not private. In fact, actually, the Christian faith is specifically meant to be lived in community. The Christian faith is like meant to, tied into being lived in community. When Paul wrote the Christian church in Galatia early on, right, as they were just getting started, he kind of references this. He says this in Galatians 6, 1 through 3 about how they will live together. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think that you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important." It's intriguing because when he says, "Here's how I need you guys to live as the church," you won't like see the fact that he's like, "Hey, as the church, everyone just kind of mind their own business. Like everyone just kind of like keep to yourselves, mind your own business. Just, you know, do your thing. Don't worry about other people." In fact, actually what he's saying is in the church, it's kind of like get in each other's business. He's like, if somebody's sinning and messing stuff up, he's like, guess what? It's your job to go and be like, "Hey, you got some sin in your life, man." He's like, in fact, if someone's struggling, he's like, you're actually meant to be like, "Hey, can I help you carry that?" Right? I like the fact that he says, if you think you're too important, right? Like, well, you know, other people can do that, but I don't have time for friendship. He's like, well, you're fooling yourself. He's like, that's not the case. You're not that important. It's interesting because it's like this idea that you're meant to be in each other's lives. This is the application of it. You see, when it comes to how we hear the voice of God, this is the same. One of the best ways that we can listen for God is by inviting others to listen with us. The same picture of being too close to the painting is solved when we can step back by inviting others, getting more perspectives on the scenario of what we're looking at, getting more people listening for the same voice of God. Now, the problem, though, is so many of us are so prideful, so many of us are so private, that we're not sharing the seasons of our life with a community. We're not inviting the voices of saints, the council of saints, into our situation. People will say stuff like, "Oh, I got this on my own. I don't want to bother anybody," right? "I'm just going to follow what's best for me," right? "I'm just going to do what's best for me," instead of inviting other people to actually speak into our lives, to listen what it is that we're seeking God for, what it is that we're wrestling with. Proverbs 12:15 says it like this: "Fools think their own way is what is right, but the wise listen to others." He says, if you just always think you're going to be the answer, like, "I got it, just give me some time, I'll figure it out," he's like, you're a fool. He's like, fools always think that they're going to be the only solution for the answer. But he says the wise, they actually listen to other people in regards to their life. You see, it's foolish to think that you will always be able to sort this out on your own. Wisdom says, open your ears and listen to God's voice by inviting others to listen as well. Proverbs 15:22 says this: "Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success." He says, you can make plans in your life, but he says, if you're the only one who's behind it, very often it falls apart. When you invite others to bring advice, to speak into it, it brings success, because sometimes, again, you're too close to the situation. In fact, this is the case in a multitude of situations. Romance, finance, family drama, parenting, etc. You can be so in it that it is so hard to hear something else other than your own feelings. You're so close to the mess that it's so difficult to hear anything other than what you're hearing inside of yourself. And the Council of the Saints is this amazing tool we can use to expand your ability to hear from God on those subjects where honestly you're too close to them to not just see your part of it. It's like stepping back and getting that broader perspective. But I need to make sure you get this, okay? It's not just that you need a bunch of advisors. It's not the idea that the power is in the council. The power is in the fact that they are saints. It's not just the idea, like, you need a bunch of people to speak into your life. That's not it. The power of the Council of Saints is that you are inviting the voices of saints. I love Proverbs 13, 20 through 21. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. Trouble chases sinners while blessing rewards the righteous. He says, it's not just the fact that you need people around you. He says, you know, there are plenty of people that you can surround yourself with that actually you'll just get in more and more trouble, right? There are plenty of people around you that they're not going to make the voice of God any clearer in your life. In fact, they might drown it out. You have plenty of people likely in your life who will stand around, listen to me, and will preach their dysfunction as though it's wisdom. They will preach to you their dysfunction as though it's wisdom you should apply to your life. Many of you have people in your life who will cheer on your worst behaviors because it makes them feel less of a mess. Well, as long as you're doing it, maybe I don't need to correct this issue in my life either. There's an age-old adage, good Lord. Some of you guys know it, you older folks. Some of you young people probably don't. You're like, cap, lit, whatever. Yes, no. An age-old adage, some of you know, it goes like this. Say it with me if you know it. Misery loves 100%. There are tons of people in your life that they will actually reward and they will encourage bad behavior because it keeps you right there with them. And they don't want to be alone. You see, the idea is not to surround yourself with a bunch of advisors who tell you what you already want to hear. Some of you guys, you're struggling in a certain area of your life and you already know the voices you could call who would give you the answers you want to hear. The idea is not to surround yourself with people who will say what you want to hear. The idea is to surround yourself with saints who are listening for the same voice of heaven in regards to your life. Listen to me, people whose loyalty is not to you, whose loyalty is to Jesus. So it doesn't matter whether what they hear is nice and happy for you or offensive to you, because their first priority isn't to be true to you. Their first priority is to be true to the Holy Spirit, to be true to the command of Scripture. There is power inside of the Council of Saints. Like I said, it expands our ability to hear from God for a few reasons. One, the reason why this is so powerful is because the Holy Spirit is in them too. Last week, we spent the entire service talking about how there is the compelling spirit. If you weren't here, you should go back and listen to it because it's so critical to understand that the compelling spirit is not somewhere out there. It's in here if you're a Jesus follower. It's within us speaking to us. But what's amazing is when we have the saints around us is that we're surrounding ourselves with people who also have that same spirit inside of them. You see, the idea of sharing your life with fellow believers isn't just about hearing wisdom from smart people. People would think what I mean is you need the council of saints. Like you need to sit down with people who are smarter than you, people who are older than you, people who are farther along the line than you. And there really is truth to that, for sure. Learn from other people's mistakes so you don't have to make them. Learn from other people's journeys so you don't have to go down the same roads. That's absolutely true. And there are tons of great saints where you could hear just the wisdom of their life. But that's actually not why I'm saying this is powerful. It's not the idea that you connect around with you people who have a bunch of wisdom that they can give you. That's great. But we're talking about hearing the voice of God. You see, the power in the Council of Saints is you surround yourself with a bunch of people who also have the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of them. Which means this. As you sit together and discuss things in your life, as you sit together and seek after God together, the Spirit in them can speak to the Spirit in you. That together, the Spirit can direct words to come from their mouths and then direct your ears to hear it in a certain way, to direct your mouth to speak something that goes into their ears so that they would hear it a certain way, to speak something to you. It's like a feedback loop of the Holy Spirit when you sit with those who are believers and filled with the Spirit. And it creates a synergy that is not just based on our own experience, it's the presence of God together in the Council of Saints. I like this verse in 1 John 4:9-13. I'll read you a little bit more because it's so good. It says, God showed how he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take our sins. Pause there real quick. If any of you are here today and you do not know Jesus, this is the salvation story. That you are a sinner and you are broken by your sin. You cannot fix it by your own best effort, but you don't have to. That God understood your brokenness and sin. Jesus came to this earth. He lived the perfect life you couldn't live. He died the death you were supposed to die. His blood paid for your sin. He resurrected from the dead, and he told all of his followers from now on, if instead of thinking that you're going to take care of your sin problem, if you give it to me, I will pay for all of the debt of your sin. When your body dies, your spirit will spring forth into new life. And you can literally have it today by putting your trust in Jesus. By taking your spirit out of your hands, putting it in Jesus's hands, it says that he can bring salvation to your life, start a brand new life inside of you, and you could begin a new journey today that will take you the rest of your life to figure out. But I guarantee you it is going to be more blessed. If that's you today, at the end, you can even pray a prayer. But he continues with this. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, right? Like since he was literally willing to come as Jesus and die, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but look at this. If we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. This is an intriguing word picture that he uses. He says that we haven't seen God. Like no one gets to see the face of God, but his Spirit lives in us. And if we love each other, the Spirit that's inside of us, in this one it says brought to full expression. Other translations would say that it is perfected inside of us. Think about it like this. He's almost saying like, so you can't see the face of God, but if the Council of Saints comes together, there can be a measure of clarity of God's character, of wisdom of who he is, of understanding his identity, almost like seeing his own face by us sharing our love together as the church. I really do think that's what he means, because when Jesus was here, he said this to his apostles, and it's way more powerful than you think it is. Matthew 18:19-20, he says, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. People are like, well, two or three are gathered, the Spirit is there. And I always kind of thought that was silly because you're like, well, the Spirit's everywhere. Like, two or three are gathered, the Spirit's there. You're like, God's everywhere. What does that even mean? What he's talking about is there is this special thing that happens when two or three gather and love each other. where the Spirit of God is moving in this powerful way of communicating to each other. And he says, here's what will happen. He says, a couple of you will start to pray. And he says, God will do it. Why? Because you'll finally know after hearing the voice of God what to pray for. So what you'll pray for will be perfectly in will with what he wants. He says, this is the amazing part where two or three gather, the Spirit is there. And all of a sudden, a clarity of your understanding will come where you'll pray and you're like, I know what to pray for. And the Spirit will bring clarity inside of it by the counsel of these saints. You see, if you want to hear the voice of God, you have this opportunity to sit down and to hear the Spirit speaking around us. In fact, I would say this, if you really are saying, I need the voice of God, I don't just need wisdom, I don't just need insight, and you had the opportunity to either sit down with a bunch of experts on a field, a bunch of geniuses who have gone through so much in regards to their life, or just a circle of average Spirit-filled believers, if the goal was to hear the voice of God, you would pick the believers every time. You would say, I actually don't need man's wisdom, I need God's wisdom. And the power isn't in the fact that they have something to give me, it's that the Spirit has something to give me. But when I join my life with two or three Spirit-filled believers who are praying and seeking and listening for the voice of God, the Spirit can begin to speak something between us and bring clarity like never before. You see, there's power in this council of saints. Not only that, but it's not just that you can hear the voice of God through them, but they can do spiritual work for you. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says this, I urge you first of all to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and for all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases our Savior who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. He says, like, you do understand this, right? Your prayers don't just need to be about you. Did you know that? Like, your prayers don't need to just be about you. He says, you know, you have this awesome opportunity as the church to carry each other's burdens. What the word they use is called intercession, to intercede. It's not some sort of weird supernatural word. It literally is you hearing someone bring the things that they're seeking the Lord for and then saying, I'll carry those things to the Lord in prayer. Are you feeling weak right now? Are you feeling tired right now? Don't worry, because you got another friend who's going to be bringing your concern to the Lord every day. That I will pray and I will ask the God for insight, that he will speak to you. Maybe he would even speak something to me in regards to this. You see, we are meant to carry each other's burdens, to do spiritual warfare for each other. These friends might move mountains in your life via prayer by you sharing what it is you're going through. Very often people will tell me something in their life and they will say, sorry, Cameron, I know you're busy. I know you're this. And I'm like, no, this is exactly what I want, because now I know what to be praying for you. I don't have any special insight into your life right now. I don't have a word of wisdom for you right now, but I am going to begin to pray that the Spirit would move in your life. Have you shared your life with someone enough who is a saint in order that you are beginning to pray for them and they're praying for you? This is one of the things that Amy and I were really, really passionate about with Acts Men and Acts Women. Not just the opportunity for another teaching, but we said, you know, one of our big goals for this is that when people come together, we want to encourage them all before they leave to actually share what's going on in their life and to be praying for each other in the weeks in between. So we literally want to end the time and say, like, you should lean over and put your hand on your brother, put your hand on your sister's back and say, Jesus, I pray that you'd move in their life and you would bring what it is that's in their life to the Lord and learn this principle of intercession. But sadly, there are some of us who say we are Jesus followers, who say we are in the church, and we have lived such closed off lives that there is no one that you know about their life enough to be praying for them. And there's no one who knows your life enough to be praying for you. Third, the Council of the Saints is powerful because they might have the supernatural gift you need. I know I've talked about this many, many times. If you've been here, you're like, Cameron's going to read this verse to me again. He's going to say this point to me again. And I am going to do it to you again, because I don't think that we understand how critical this is. that we need supernatural gifting from God in order to get through this life on earth. But the way God delivers it is surprising. I've read this to you before. It shouldn't be a surprise to you if you've been part of our church. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Pause there for a second. I've read this to you multiple times. God is so amazing in his insight that he will give spiritual gifts we need. But as I've said, both of the verses in the Bible, when it talks about the Holy Spirit supernatural gifts, it does not say he gives the gifts that you need for your life. It says he gives you the gifts that someone else's need, and he gives the gifts that you need to someone else. The only way you get them is by the counsel of the saints. If you say, I need supernatural insight, I need supernatural wisdom, I need supernatural faith, he has it for you, but it's not inside of you. The supernatural gifting specifically comes through relationships. He says this, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person's given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. He says, I have a multitude of gifts. Some of you are like, I need wise advice. He has it. I need special knowledge. He has it. I need a great measure of faith. He has it. I need healing. He has it. I need a miracle. He has it. I need someone to show me what to do next through prophecy. He has it. I need discernment whether or not this is from God. He has it. I need a special prayer from God. He has it. I need God to clarify what I have sensed in my spirit. He has it, but the gift is not inside of you. It's inside of someone else. It is in the counsel of the saints. I'm not saying like you just need a friend. I'm saying there is a spiritual measure of power you don't possibly even grasp that's there for us, but it only comes when we open our lives up and share where we're seeking the Lord's voice to a group of people who are around us. I'll say it this way. If you do not have friendships with other believers that are sharing their life with you and you sharing yours with them so that they can seek God's voice for you, you are missing out on at least 1/5 of the way that God is speaking to you. You say, I need to hear from God, but I have no Christian friends who I'm sharing my life with, then you are just lopping off 20% of God's communication to you, de facto. Now, let's pull back any fears for a second, because if you're like me, you're like, I'm going to talk to someone, they're going to get weird, they're going to say something, it's going to be wrong, right? I'm terrified. How can we know that we're not being led astray by another Christian brother or sister? It's actually pretty easy. 1 John 4, 1 says this, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. He says, everything you hear must be tested. You don't let man speak something into you and just instantly consume it. They can prepare the plate for you, but then you need to test it before you eat it, right? There are many people who can get this wrong, and he says, you need to test it. Well, how could you test it? Well, literally the first two filters we just talked about. You can run it against the command of Scripture. Is it outside the command of Scripture? It's not from God. You can run it against the compelling Spirit and ask the Spirit to confirm in you whether or not it's true. Listen, we can definitely get this wrong. In fact, this is why I believe there should be humility in the Spirit-led church. So for us, we literally believe that the Holy Spirit is still speaking, that the gifts of the Spirit have not ceased to exist in our world, but we need to have a measure of humility because we are listening. So for reference, you might notice if you ever have one of our leaders pray for you, and if you're with somebody who's wise in nature, if you're underneath my leadership where you think Cameron's a pastor who I'm following, let me give this word to you. This is why we don't say like God said, God said, God said to people, because we know that we have to hear what God said. So what we often do is take a step back in humility and we say, here's what I'm hearing. Here's what I'm sensing. Here's what I'm feeling. Because that's actually the reality. I think the Lord is speaking, but here's what I'm hearing. I am part of this mix and I could be messed up. Here's what I'm feeling about this, but I mean, obviously, I could be messed up. You take this and you ask the compelling spirit to confirm it in you, and then you'll know if it's the voice of God. I'm not going to tell you outright it's the voice of God. I'll tell you what I'm hearing, and then you can check that against these other ways of communication, and then you can say, hey, God said. I know he said because he confirmed it in these other ways. But I need you to be wise on this, because some people pull so far away that they never even have this in their life. I actually like in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21, Paul said this. He says, don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't scoff at prophecies. He says there are some people who are just like, oh, that stuff is ridiculous. People talking about hearing from God, that's ludicrous. And he's like, don't be that person. He says, but of course, test everything that's said and hold on to what's good. That as well. When we pray for each other as believers, you do understand that since we're the ones who are hearing, somebody who really is hearing from God could say two or three or four things to you, and one of them is from God, and the other ones are just random thoughts that pop through their head. But he says, but hold on to the one that's good. Yeah, let go of the other stuff, right? Spit out the bones, but eat the fish. Find the thing that's nourishing inside of this. Find the peace that you can keep and hold on to. And you say, well, how do I know what is good? And I love this. Here's a really great thing that you can jot down. James 3:15 through 17, specifically the word, the commanding scripture, speaks to the kind of wisdom that God speaks so you can know what is from God. He says this, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. That's not it. He says, so if the word sounds jealous and selfish, that's not from God. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But check this out. The wisdom from God is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism, and it's always sincere. If you want to jot these down, here's what it says the wisdom of God is. Pure, peaceful, gentle, humble, merciful, good, unbiased, and sincere. He says, when you're seeking the wisdom of God, he says, one of the things you can do is you can run it past this, because he says, this is the wisdom of God. It is pure. It is peaceful. It is gentle, it is humble, it is merciful, it is good, it is unbiased, and it is sincere. It's pure, it's not sinful in its nature. It's peaceful, it doesn't try to harm someone else. It's gentle, it doesn't try to start a quarrel. It's humble, it isn't about gloating or boasting or propping yourself up. It's merciful, it shows grace to people who need it. It's good. It grows something instead of killing it out. It's unbiased. It's not just to suit you. It's fair. It's sincere. It's not hypocritical. He says, you can know the kind of wisdom that comes from God. You can put those down and say, when I'm listening and I'm talking to someone about what's next, when I hear something that I feel like it's from God and I wonder, is that wisdom from the Lord? He says, you can check it against this list and say, does that sound like God? And you go, wait a second. Yeah, that's spot on. Listen, if you want to hear from God, it's not impossible. As I said, he only really speaks these five basic ways: commanding scripture, compelling spirit, and then today, as I said, the council of the saints. And this is the amazing power of it. It has the ability to expand our ability to hear from God. Now, real quick for you, okay? Some of you, you today say you're a Jesus follower, but you have zero real friendships that you're sharing your life with. You need 1 to 3 people that you can do this with. You don't need 100 acquaintances. You don't need hundreds and hundreds of people who you call your friends. In fact, that's what's funny. Very often as we've grown as a church, people are like, I kind of don't like how the church is so getting so big. I don't know everybody. I'm like, you're not supposed to know everybody in the church. That's never, ever happened in the history of the church. Literally the first day the church was preached, there was 5,000 people on the first day. No one knew each other from the very beginning. You don't need hundreds of acquaintances. You need 1 to 3 friends. You need people you share your life with, not 1,000 people you go, hey, buddy, to. You need one or three you sit down with and you share what's actually going on in your life and you know what's going on in theirs so you can pray for each other. You can listen for each other. If you wonder how you can do this, a really good start, as I said, not trying to promote just things we're doing, but Acts Men and Acts Women is a great next step. You don't need to prepare. You can come here on a Wednesday night. You can start meeting people. If not, teams, as I said, I have found over and over and over again, the people I serve with become the people who I'm closest to. I'm not just trying to get you to sign up for a team. For real, the people who I serve with at this church know more about my life than most of my family. For real. They know what's going on in my life because I share my life with them. We talk as we serve, and they know way sooner than a lot of my family knows about the struggle I'm going through. Here's what I'm wrestling with. Here's what I'm struggling with. Because as we serve God together, we share what it is that we're wrestling with. You need this. Not only that, but if I may, you also really need a spiritual leader. We don't talk about this very often, but Hebrews 13:17 says this, obey your spiritual leaders, do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls. They are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. God's word says that although your faith is a personal faith, it's not really meant to be a private faith. You're meant to actually have some sense of like spiritual authority in your life. And it's not because like you need a spiritual authority who's going to tell you what to do in your life. You need somebody who you can run things by. I am astounded and amazed, okay, how often I have people who will come to me who say that I am their pastor and they'll just tell me something they've decided to do that's like a giant grenade for their life. And they're like, anyways, Cameron, here's what I'm doing. And I'm like, where was the conversation on prayer on this like 6 months ago? Why am I just hearing about this now? Why wasn't this brought up weeks and weeks ago of like, Cameron, would you listen to the Holy Spirit for this? You have this great opportunity to actually have like spiritual authority where you can run things by a pastor and you can say like, hey, Cameron can't be my best friend to talk through all of this. But when I'm going to make a big decision, I can ask spiritual authority, say, is this something that you would confirm or you would say no to in your spirit? If it's not me, that's fine. Find a church where you have that. But it's so critical. You would have 1 to 3 friends who are around you and then at least one spiritual leader ahead of you that you would run those big things by. You say you want to hear the voice of God. If you don't, you're cutting out a massive part of it. So more of you, to be honest with you, I'll just say it boldly. You're prideful. Even your insecurities are just another fleshing out of pride that you don't want to open yourself up to others. Some of you say, well, I have my spouse, but remember, two become one in biblical marriage. So even that doesn't really open you up to this possibility. Pride could be stopping you from hearing the voice of God and the counsel of the saints. And I get everyone has a different personality type, but I need you to know in God's word, there is mercy and there is grace for all, but the calling and the obedience of Christ doesn't change just based on our personality types. Oh, well, like I'm an introvert, so I'm not going to do that. It's like, well, you're being disobedient then. Like it's going to be harder for you. Yes. And there are people that it's harder to be faithful in relationships. And there's people who it's harder to be faithful with their addictions. And there's people who have proclivities and issues and problems inside of them. There are people who have health issues, and to be, you know, joyful and to serve is difficult. Every single one of us have those things, but we all must find obedience. And lastly, some of you have some of this, but I would just invite you. You have a circle around you. You are a Jesus follower. You have people you share your life with. But I would invite you to just consider, are you really opening yourself up? Do you start each day with a list of people who you are praying that you would see God speak and move in their life? Or have you gotten quiet in your life where you're really not sharing? You could be a faithful believer, but you go, I've just kind of gotten quiet and I'm not sharing my life with the people who I know love me. Why am I not talking about what I'm going through, talking about what I'm walking through and sharing that with others, starting our day and interceding in prayer? Would you do me a favor? Would you close your eyes, bow your head for 1 second? Just real quick. One, if when I said that you could have a relationship with Jesus today, if that struck a chord with you and that's like, you're like, that's what I want, I would just invite you to pray this prayer in your mind right now, that you would put your eyes on Jesus in your mind's eye and you would say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for forgiving me. Please become the king of my life. I trust in you. Make me yours. And as you prayed that, I believe right now, just in an issuance of faith, the Holy Spirit's moving into your life. The Holy Spirit's forgiving you. He's taking away shame. He's giving you mercy and grace. He's bringing forgiveness to you. And today, if you do that, today you can leave here knowing that God has moved in your life. But then second as well, I would just invite you to pray in this moment, because it's my prayer that you wouldn't just hear this message and you'd leave. It's my prayer that you would take a step of obedience. So here's what I want to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I pray right now for all of us who are here who are saying that we're Jesus followers. We say we want to hear from you. I pray that you would open us up right now. If there are hearts of pride or hearts of fear, I pray that you would crack them open. I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom, Lord, to open our eyes to the people you've surrounded us with. Some of us have been listening to the devil's voice saying, you have nobody. You're too weird. You're too angry. You're too whatever. No one wants to hear about your life. And those are lies from the devil. I pray that you would chase them away and instead you would give us a courage to invite that conversation, to invite that person over, to go out for that cup of coffee, to join a team, whatever it might be, and then say, I'm going to start sharing my life with others because I believe you want to speak through them. Or maybe you even want to speak through me. And I just pray that you would bless people as they walk into obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.